Mines Rescue Services, or MRS, led by Manas Faree, recently rescued 246 illegal miners, or Zama-Zamas, trapped in an abandoned mineshaft in Stilfontein, South Africa. The mission followed a tense standoff between the miners and authorities before MRS finally got the go-ahead for a rescue mission. While operating in extreme heat and total darkness, this high-risk rescue mission raises the question, what drives Faree and his team to face such danger? Well, Manas Faree joins us in the BizNews studio to explain. Hi, Manas. Welcome to BizNews.
Hi, good afternoon, Linda. Thank you for hosting me.
Well, can you describe this rescue operation at Stilfontein and the key elements it entailed?
So basically, this incident occurred in a vertical shaft. We had to go and retrieve illegal miners that were stuck on a level at 1,280 meters. In November last year, I was requested to lower a camera down the shaft to determine if there are any illegal miners or people trapped inside the shaft, of which we did. And through communication of putting a notepad onto the rope we let it back saying that there are 480 people and they would like to come out. And then thereafter, this whole operation started off. So basically, it was our mobile rescue winder, which we had to deploy. I mean, rescuing people at 1,280 meters, you need the mechanisms and means to do that. So fortunately, in the mining industry in South Africa, we have identified a time ago that should something happen in our vertical shafts, that we need a device that can rescue people up to a depth of 3,000 meters, because that's the depth at what we mine. This machine was then developed, designed, and built by South Africans in South Africa. And we got it right to test that machine at one of our member mines up to 3,000 meters. So having to do this work, we knew we had the capabilities and skills. So we deployed this machine to go and take out these miners.
Sure, it sounds like a big challenge. So what was the biggest challenge during this rescue operation?
Yeah, it was a challenge for us because every single operation or every single incident is different than the one before. There's not a script or a book which you can read from, which you need to follow. You need to think on your feet. So the challenges we had with this one is surely the safety of our rescue team members to be lowered down the hole. We also had challenges to park the truck right against the big open hole, making sure that the truck don't go down the shaft. And then also our rescue team members that had to work around the barrel area of the shaft, putting the equipment down the shaft and also removing people in and out. Unfortunate and sadly, but good for us, the weather also didn't play in our favor. So it was raining quite a lot in that region and it made the gravel road from the tar road to the incident scene quite wet. And our truck is weighing 45 tons and we had to get our truck all the way to this shaft. So we had to do ground compact work for 2 days to make sure that the truck then sinks away. So these are just a couple of the challenges we had. There's a lot of other operational challenges, but I think with the knowledge, expertise, and skills we have in the company and the guys that have been trained, I think we pulled it off quite well to bring out the amount of people per day than what we did.
Well, just give us a description of what you found down there.
So yes, we've got cameras installed in our cage, one at the bottom, one in the middle inside, so we can see what's happening inside, one at the top. So we then discussed, and there were two volunteers from the local community that assisted us that wanted to go down and go speak with these people. They were also the people that were looking after these guys underground, supplying them with means of food. So they knew these people, and we then agreed on a voluntary basis. We gave them training of how to operate our machine and equipment, the cage. They went down to that level. We could see on the cameras that people are lined up and they would like to come out. So yes, that's where we found the 246 people alive, of which we then brought out with every cage coming up. So it took us quite a while because normally in the operating shaft, the cage goes down between guides that supports it on its sides and it guides it down properly. Our machinery equipment and that shaft has got no steel structures of which you can guide the conveyance down. So we were limited to a 1.5 meters per second moving up and down the shaft freely. And that's merely just to keep the speed down so that we don't bump against the shaft and hurt people. So it took us about 45 minutes to go down to the level, load people, come back up to surface and unload the illegal miners. So that it has been a tedious process.
So when they came out, did they say something to you? Did they speak to you?
So the process was quite well lined up. So we had a certain area which we bargained off to prevent any persons, even the SAPs and all the other people that assisted us, to get close to the hole, because we never knew how this was going to play out as the first caves come up. And we were afraid that people might run around and people might fall into the shaft. So we took it upon ourselves to guard the area which we work. And whenever the cage comes to surface, we had guys that were attached by retractable linears against our machine. And as the cage stopped on surface, they opened the door and there were people taking each person physically by hand, walking them all the way to the area where we handed them over to the authorities. Okay, they were quite well. Guys were joyful of seeing us, and they were, yeah, you could see they're glad to be on surface and to be alive.
So what do you think with people like that? Would they return and continue mining?
Liz, unfortunately, I mean, this illegal mining in South Africa, it's a lucrative business and there's a lot of money to be made. And there's high-grade areas that has been left behind by the mining companies. And that was not just left behind for the sake of being left behind. It was left behind in support pillar areas to keep up the ground for the miners to mine safely. So it was left with reason. And as long as there's a market to make money out of it, these people will come back and they will just come and mine again, which is a sad story because, I mean, this doesn't play well out for us in the country to see what have happened.
So Manas, what kind of specialist training does your team undergo to perform these high-risk rescues?
Yes, I need to give credit to my guys. I mean, we had a wonderful team on site. You know, we placed a target of 35 people a day to be brought out to surface. Initially, there were numbers quoted of 800, 1,500. So we started off slow and we said we're going to see how it goes and then we will change over to a 24-hour operation. The guys then got together and they gave themselves a target of 100 people. That's what they want to bring out. And they actually exceeded that. They brought up to 160 people out a day. They even pushed until 12 o'clock at night, as long hours as they could. Then we went back to sleep until 4 o'clock. We come back. So the guys only got 4 hours sleep every night. So if we look at the training, these guys, there's two specialized proto teams in South Africa, which has been skilled and coached how to operate this machine, how to be the driver of the machine and deploying this machine. So these teams comes on a quarterly basis to us. We then go out to some of the mines that's got open shafts, which is not working, where we then physically simulate a rescue and recovery. So every quarter, these guys do the full application from responding from office, rigging up the machine, going down the shaft, bringing it back up, and making sure that the machine is 100% operational when needed.
So what motivates you and your team? Why did you get involved in this kind of rescue operation?
I think it's the camaraderie and the passion people has got to assist other people. You know, these guys rescuing people they don't even know and might never even know after they rescued it. In South Africa, we're sitting with 450,000 mine employees, more or less. And I can assure you, every single mine worker, when he goes underground, he knows exactly, should something happen, that we would come for them. There's a huge regard. We call them proto teams and proto members for the proto guys in South Africa. There's discipline, camaraderie. The guys are just top notch in what they do. You know, when we train, we've got around about a 45, maximum 50% pass rate on people that do join our organization. So the best of the best. And that makes it to be part of this and to want to be part of this. I mean, you cannot feel proud walking away saying that they have rescued people. It's a calling to do, and I think these guys really go above and beyond. And it's sad to say these guys would risk their life to save a life. Over the past 100 years of the existence of this company, we've lost 42 people that have lost their lives while busy rescuing or doing mining-related firefighting work to make sure that the mines are operational. So it doesn't only go about rescuing people. It also goes about making sure if there's disasters or incidents at the mine that we deal with them, because to get the mine back on track as soon as possible, we're saving jobs. We're making mines to still operate. If it takes too long, a lot of these small mining companies that hasn't got a lot of cash flow can go into business rescue and close down and people can lose their work. So it's a huge responsibility upon these guys.
Are you the only company in South Africa that provides this critical service?
So this company has been established by the mining industry in 1994. They identified the need of something. The company is still owned by the mining industry. So it has been established for the mining industry by the mining industry. And It's a company that the mining companies in South Africa quite cherish. They give us a huge support. And whenever they call us, we make sure that we're ready to go and respond. They subscribe to a membership scheme of Mines Rescue Services, which allows them then, if they pick up their phone, I can call any rescue team in South Africa from any mine and deploy them at that mine. So it's a huge share membership scheme, making sure that there is an emergency preparedness and response in South Africa. We're quite huge. We're sitting with 150 underground teams consisting of a minimum of 6 members, which brings the rescue team member volunteers to 1,180 in South Africa. We also quite recently started exploring into the open cast mines, the surface operations. And within the last couple of years, we've got about 409 surface fire responders, which can also then deal with surface fire disasters in the country. So I think there's very few people in the country that can say they've got so many people that if there's a disaster, we can all pull together and we can all pull resources together and we can go and assist as far as possible.
So what is your background? How did it come about that you specialized in this dangerous field?
Yeah, when I started off in the mining as a young boy, I always saw these guys going out dealing with all these dangerous situations and being looked after and being looked up to from every single mine employee. So I said, I need to get myself into this. I need to be part of this team. And fortunately, in my young career, I joined the proto teams, of which I then worked for about 7 years, of which I also became the captain. And I had a great passion for what we were doing. But unfortunately, growing into the mining industry and to senior management positions, I had to let go, giving focus to the operational side of things. But when this position came up as chief executive officer for South Africa, I immediately jumped to it to come back to the organization. And yes, it's a passion for me and I love what I'm doing. And I always say that I'm a father of 1,180 boys because they're my boys. I need to look after them wherever I go and whatever we do.
Does it matter to you that these miners were probably illegally in the country and are foreigners? Do you distinguish?
We do not distinguish. I mean, we've rescued a lot of illegal miners in South Africa. When we get called, I mean, there's a life at stake. We don't discriminate. We just go and do what we have to do to make sure that we can preserve life and give closure to families if needed. So it was immediately not even doubtful situation to say, let's go and help and sort this problem out in the country.
Do you operate outside South Africa's borders?
So about 2-3 years ago, we started exploring outside South Africa. We've done work in Russia. We've done work in Africa all over. I've got a lot of people I'm training in Africa. We do the whole world. We're also part of the International Mines Rescue Body, which is a fraternity where it looks after all the mines rescue inside the world and giving advice and sharing learnings, of which I'm then also a board member there. And I can assure you that South Africa is quite leading the way in what we do, and the world learns from us, and likewise, we do sometimes learn from the rest of the people as well. Unfortunately, or how can I say, fortunately for us, is that if you look at the deepest mines in the world, I think out of the top 10, 8 belongs to South Africa. And with deep mining, it brings new challenges or different challenges than any other mining in the world. And that's the conditions that is actually giving us all this knowledge and expertise. The organization is also, you know, we're not a lot of people in the company, but have this opportunity to manage every single scenario that happens in the country, all that knowledge and expertise stays within the company. And whenever we get to incidents, it's not like it's a first new thing for somebody. We know exactly what to do and we assist the management then to lead the process.
Whoa, Monas, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think it's just the support from everybody out there. I mean, even the public, our rescue team members, the mine management, every single person that believes in us and that supports us. I mean, it's just amazing. I can just say thank you to them and we really appreciate everything that came our way.
Well, you do amazing work. And Manas Faree, thank you so much for speaking to Biz News.
Welcome. Thank you, Linda. It was an opportunity and a pleasure for me. Thank you.
Well, I'm Linda Fontelberg for Biz News.